You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim! Boom! That's a bad outfit! Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me! My turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure enough!
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough!
Am I the baddest mofo no down around this town?
Sure enough!
Well, who am I?
Sure enough!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters, issue 112 of Geek Watch 1. And as Mickey's dying over here.
Well, I'm getting kneaded to death.
Yes. Slade has decided that Vicky is now a pincushion.
That's right. She's the scratching post at this point.
See, that's what happens when you don't bring Cassie. If Cassie was here, she'd keep Slade away from you.
No. Well, I want to see... Because Cassie... I was a chew toy last night, now I'm a pincushion this morning.
Yes. Cassie's gotten to the point where she's gotten past chewing on different things. Now it's like power cords.
Yep.
I've lost a USB cord, my computer power cord. One of our fans no longer has a power cord.
Which is fine. The family isn't working anyways.
She doesn't chew on the cord. She chews through the cord. Mm-hmm. All the way through.
She's still a completionist.
Yes. And the power, my computer power cord was when I was in the shower this morning, like in 3 minutes that I didn't see her. It was done.
Mm-hmm.
Who would think a body that small could go through stuff that fast?
That's what we had when we, not long after we first got Zoe, she crunched his phone first.
Oh.
And then crunched my phone.
Yes.
Like, and a couple bites, the entire phone, like the entire glass in the front was crunched. And
yeah.
We were lucky we had insurance on the phone.
Yeah. But, I was so glad.
That's a reason to get insurance on your phone. It's not about the dropping. If you have dogs, get insurance on your phone.
Yeah. Yes.
See, mine, I didn't have the option of insurance because I got mine off Amazon.
Oh, there you go.
So, but it was like $50. It was like $50 more than what Sprint wanted.
There you go.
Right.
For the actual, the bigger hard drive.
Yeah. Sprint didn't have it.
Yeah, and Sprint, you couldn't get this anywhere. They were out every. I mean, they called all of Northeast Ohio, all down into Southern Ohio, into Columbus. No one had it. So,
okay,
but.
Which state you could have gone to.
So, what have you guys been up to this week?
Let me see.
Other than seeing a movie.
Well, of course, for us was quite interesting.
Yes. We had a 4th of July. What you guys do?
We had a 4th of July.
We had a 4th of July.
We were quiet. We stayed quiet on the 4th of July because Kylan only had the 4th off.
Yes.
I had the 3rd and the 5th off.
We had a birthday.
So, yeah, it was my birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Ms. Dawn.
Thank you.
I'm trying to think. What else did we do?
We grilled. We went to the Rib Fest in Akron.
We still got to get together and do that sometime, just to have a cookout.
Yeah,
even if it's just us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or us and a couple of, an intimate gathering of friends or something.
That's right.
I'd say we could do it here with Andy and the family. The problem is, Andy uses propane. And that's the bastardized way of grilling.
No, you
got to have charcoal.
It has to be charcoal, because I'm like,
See, I knew there's a reason I like you guys.
So, aside from that, we didn't do... Anything,
no, just kind of working
special.
On some stuff for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully in the next week or two.
Yeah.
So, that's about it.
Well, we actually had some excitement. You mentioned the 4th. We had some excitement on the evening of the 4th of July.
Uh-oh.
We had the equivalent of a riot in front of our house.
What?
Wow.
Do you guys know where our house is? So, on Hamill Street there, on the other side, there's a second house down, always, for the 4th of July, sets up barricades in the road, and there was like 100, 150, 200 people at their house.
Okay.
And, we're sitting there, and they're having their own fireworks display.
Well, our street was blocked. Like, there was cars on both sides, and then a truck parked in the middle.
Oh.
So if we wanted to get out, we would have gone completely to the opposite end of our road.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, at some point, we were laying there in bed, like, knowing that hopefully they'll finish off the fireworks soon or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they were setting off more than the city of Akron.
By this point, we're approaching 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Well, then I look up, and I heard a couple of the bangs and stuff were a little bit different and stuff.
Uh-oh.
Well, then I look up, and I see blue and red lights on the walls. I look outside, and there was like 6 or 7 police cars, 2 paddy wagons.
Oh, my god!
Someone, I guess, one of the guys was out there waving a gun around or something.
Oh.
No. And we found out a couple days later he actually shot it.
Yeah, like he was shooting it in the air.
Yeah, one of those idiots. Oh, my god.
And then, obviously, it was his girl or something was out there yelling at the cops. It's not even his gun. He found it on the ground. It's like...
That makes it better?
What? The way the police look at... Okay, anybody who... just a little bit of advice. If you see a gun on the ground and you pick it up and the cop rolls up and you have it in your hand... You're holding a gun.
Better advice. Don't pick it up.
Exactly.
Yes.
So if you leave it on the ground, even if you just stand over it and give them a call, they'll come out and pick it up for you.
Yes.
Throw a towel on it or something.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, don't let anybody else pick it up either.
Mind you, she was in our driveway losing.
Oh, God.
Losing it.
We were sitting at... All the lights were off in the house. We were just sitting at the window upstairs laughing at it.
I'm videotaping.
There were people everywhere.
I'm videotaping it.
Wow. You'd think you were having a giant festival downtown or something. People.
So this was after 11 o'clock. And then when the cops pulled away, they threw liquid at it. Because I seen it go...
Yeah, like, someone was throwing like their cups of pop or whatever. Their cups of beverage at the police station. At the police. And the next day, they had, I think it was 8 trash bags full of the remnants of their show.
They actually cleaned up, though.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, it's in front of their house. They kind of have
to. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So, other than that, what we really didn't do much. Just recovered from all this.
Well, we were just grateful Cassie could care less about it. Like, it didn't bother
good.
Her.
Good.
Yeah.
Because they were sending some stuff off that was so loud that it felt like it was shaking the house a little bit.
Oh, wow.
Because it was so... I mean, that, and they were throwing packs of firecrackers. There was an SUV parked in front of my house, and they were throwing it under the car.
Oh, jeez.
So, I mean, it was just constant.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So, we had excitement.
Yeah.
You guys
have a quiet block,
don't you?
Well, no, we have, you know, the idiots who set them off, like, for an entire week straight.
Yeah.
Within
See,
a,
I don't
know,
mind as long
radius.
As they stop by about 10:30, 11
That's
o'clock.
That's the thing, though. They never stop by then. It's like it goes after 11.
Yeah.
Well, that, and they
see,
picked it back up about 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Somebody
to
else
be
did.
Fair, it's not as bad as it was.
No, it's not.
It's by no stretch.
We used to have one of those idiot stunt crews live down the street from us. The ones who motorcycle stunt guys who do the wheelies on Route 8 and everything.
Yeah, Star Boys.
We did have it was actually the Star Boys. And they would make their own fireworks and explosives in their garage.
Oh, nice.
So yes. Every once in a while we would literally get an explosion
ATF
a few days.
Doesn't like
down.
That.
Mm-mm.
No.
And no, it's not the police or the FBI. No, ATF shows up for those.
Yes.
And those guys don't play around. They
no,
don't joke.
No, because the other thing is, this was within the first, when we first moved into our neighborhood, which was a while ago, and we used to have a lot of seniors on the street.
Yeah.
Who mm-hmm. have since, you know, moved or passed away. But seniors are never, never hesitant about calling the police. That's
no.
the one thing. So every time something happened, boom, the police were there.
Right, yeah.
Like...
Nice.
So yeah, and eventually the Star Boys got the message and moved out and got their own like warehouse downstairs
yeah.
or something.
Mm. They're
but,
not even around anymore.
No,
like,
I don't
the
think
guys,
they are.
The ones that were causing issues,
yeah.
the government has taken care of.
Yeah, exactly.
And the rest of them are pretty much just disbanded.
Yeah,
right.
So that's the excitement we used to have. At least we don't have that now. So.
Yeah.
Got too old and hurt themselves too much.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Fell off the bikes one mm-hmm. time too many.
Uh-huh.
Well, Geeksters, at this point, this is your spoiler warning. We all went and saw Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen it yet, just like all these other times, this is your spoiler warning. We're going to go through some news and do some other stuff. But we're going to get to doing Spider-Man, where this is going to be fully spoilery.
Yes.
Everybody's going to know
right.
what we're talking
Spoiling
about.
Spoiling everything.
Right. Considering the numbers, I would think that most listeners have seen it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I do want to
tell you how many
out.
Times we saw Doc Ock and Green Goblin.
I do want to give a shout out to the kid
I thought that was, Santa
that was
yeah.
at Bob Evans this morning that recognized my t-shirt because he was way younger than I thought.
How old was he?
He seemed like to be 18, 20.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's
still...
What you said, the way you said that, I was thinking like 8 to 10.
No.
I'm like 8 to 10 years old,
well,
he recognizes Trilam.
Kylan's over 40, he can call them kids.
Yeah.
When
so,
they're in their 20s.
So I'm like, you know,
know
18 to 20, mm-hmm. you know, I'm thinking like you wouldn't get the Trilam reference. But he got it, and he got and
so shout out to random Bob Evans kid.
Yeah, so you keep doing.
Who's not gonna listen to this? But oh well.
I don't know.
You know what? If he recognized that, You should have given him a business card.
I didn't have cards.
Yeah, see, he didn't have cards on him. What do you expect? I had cards on me.
Like,
what do you expect?
You know what? Nobody ever gets this shirt. Like, I work with nerds.
So what? It doesn't matter.
We get it all the time, but we're used to see you seeing you wear.
Right, so. And I was like, okay. And I'm thinking, like, I should have had a card. But, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Maybe next time I see you. Card.
But, we'll go back to that Bob Evans.
There you go.
So, but yeah, like I said, remember, we're going to have spoilers coming.
That's right.
But, for the moment, what's been happening in this week in the geek side of the world?
This week in geek? Oh, hey, that's a good title.
I know we looked at, last night on Wookiee Radio, we looked at the panels for Comic-Con for Star Wars. Friday is Star Wars Day.
Okay.
Really?
There's probably like 15 to 20 panels that have to do with Star Wars in some way.
Wow.
Yeah, almost all have, in the same room.
I do have updates on Comic-Con. I had another couple of small things first. One is for fans of Umbrella Academy, there is word that it is going to be heading to Netflix.
Okay.
This is, if you're not familiar with it, it was it started in 2007. It was a comic by Gerard Way, who now leads the...
Young Animal.
DC Young Animal, that was it. Yeah, I knew it was Animal something. Who now leads Young Animal for DC.
Which is interesting. If you want to see the strange side of DC Comics, like, Vertigo is your dark side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is kind of your twisted and weird side, like psychedelic acid trip side of DC Comics.
Which is probably why Gerard Way got the job after Umbrella Academy, because the whole premise of that series, or kind of series of miniseries, was kind of a dysfunctional family of superheroes, and they would fight crime when they were kids, and then they kind of disbanded and they get back together again. It's definitely an odd kind of story, but it's really good. I read at least one of the series, and it had been optioned for a film by Universal at one point, and then a couple years ago, Universal Television talked about making it into a series. And now apparently that's been stepped forward into going to Netflix. So there's no word on timing or anything like that, but they're saying that the script they're looking at right now is the one that was originally written for the Universal series.
Okay.
So it,
now, it's is this steampunk at all? Because it's not Umbrella Academy, you think it sounds like it would be something steampunky.
No.
Okay.
It's adventure-y and kind of weird. So there was that. And also, the other, interestingly enough, DC-related... piece that I found was the next DC animated movie looks to be perhaps one of the best Batman Elseworld stories ever.
Mm-hmm.
Gotham by Gaslight.
Yeah, they did.
Awesome.
DC has been doing Elseworlds for many years,
mm-hmm.
which in Marvel they're called What Ifs, aren't they? But they, it seems like they don't put out nearly as much as what DC did.
No, they don't really do them anymore.
No, and, it's like they've done many of DC's characters, but it always seems like Superman and Batman are the best ones for Elseworlds.
Mm-hmm.
But that may be because more of the general population know who Batman and Superman are.
Right, they're familiar with the basic story.
So when you change something, it's obvious what you've changed,
right.
And it's kind of cool. Like, mm-hmm. One of my favorites I remember from Superman was called The Kents. And it was, what if Superman, because at this point, even I think the modern story says Superman landed in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, what if instead of the 1970s in Kansas, Superman landed in the 1870s in Kansas?
Right. The Wild West.
Then they have, one of the real famous ones was Red Sun, where mm-hmm. What if Superman had landed in the Soviet Union?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so that's their next, Gotham by Gaslight. We have that one, actually. It's a really good story.
It is, yeah.
And it's basically a steampunk Victorian Batman.
I think I have that one digital. I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
So it's really good. So that's what they're talking about is the next one that they're looking at. And then in con news, although not San Diego yet, since we talked about San Diego and we have updates for that, the previous weekend, I should say, that actually this weekend coming up, starting on the 14th, is D23.
Ah.
We got two full weeks.
They dropped it. It's before San Diego.
Two big weeks.
No
in
wonder
California.
They're not doing anything in San Diego.
Right.
Right.
So it runs from Friday through Sunday, and it's apparently the day passes for Saturday are already sold out.
Yeah.
They were already gone.
Well, isn't there a certain type of club, the D23 club or something, you can get into that automatically gets you a pass or something?
You get basically first pick.
Yeah.
D23 is their kind of exclusive fan club, and it's based on a secret
kind of nightclub sort of thing that's actually in Disney parks that you have to know passwords and locations to get into.
Oh, interesting.
It's kind of cool, but it's one of those like really high-end pay a annual membership kind of things.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's where they got the name for this whole thing, the Expo. they've never released official numbers, but the estimate from a couple years ago was 65,000 people.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like that's barely just a bit smaller than Dragon Con. Like it's a pretty huge. And
it's all basically on par with Star Wars Celebration. Yeah. Star Wars Celebration is 65,000 to 70,000.
But you also have to think that D23 has not been going on for that long.
Yeah.
So, but they basically said this year, a couple of the things going on. The chairman of Disney Parks and Resorts, Bob Chapek, is slated to attend. He doesn't always.
Yeah.
So they're thinking that's going to have some possible major announcements for Disney's parks, both locally and globally.
The one theory I've been hearing on a couple other places we're around that I've never, obviously we've said we've never been to Disney, but I guess Epcot needs a lot of updates.
Well, Epcot right now,
because it's aging. What it is it's showing its age.
Yes, and the thing is, a lot of the updates they usually get are in the international section.
Yeah.
Because the countries themselves handle those. But in the front section, which is all the future world, it gets very dated very quickly because it's supposed to be futuristic and stuff. Well, they recently lost, or the contract ended, for the main sponsor of Spaceship Earth, which is the big golf ball.
Yeah.
So now they're looking at what can be different there and if they're going to make changes to that at all.
Well, I've heard that one of the big changes coming is it's the World Electricity, or whatever the electric ride is, that the two options I've heard, one is possibly a Guardians attraction. Or bringing in the Tron light cycles that they've done. I think Shanghai has them.
Right.
The light cycle ride.
They do. It's a really popular ride. Well, because there was one that used to be called World of Motion that they turned into Test Track years ago.
Yeah.
So it kind of kept the whole motion and car thing.
Yeah.
But it's an actual ride now. Because that was one of the things about Epcot. It's never been a ride-heavy park. And they're slowly turning it into a ride park. Because like Spaceship Earth, it's a ride, but it's a really slow ride. Like it shows you the history of
it's your Jungle Cruise.
Yeah, basically. It's really slow. It is, you know, almost like on a roller coaster track sort of thing, but very slow moving sort of thing. And the same with like the Living Seas and the World of Energy one. That's always been slow moving with big screens of things going on and that. But that actually got changed a few years back to show that included Ellen, and so now it would be outdated by now just the way it is. So turning that into something Guardians or something, that would be awesome.
Well, that's and that's one thing, like I said, with the Tron light cycle ride, that's one thing that for some reason Disney has not put anywhere in their parks, very little. Like Shanghai has some, but there's no Tron presence, and Tron is actually a large section of Disney. It has a lot of fans. It may not have done well in the movies for this last one, but there's still a large segment of the population that are huge fans of Tron.
Well, it's true, but in the U.S., that becomes dated right away. Like, first of all, it needs to be when there's a current Tron movie out or recently. You know, like, that's why they're doing so much Guardian stuff, because, you know, they can actually use Guardians in the parks from Marvel. As opposed to other ones they can't use.
Because that's, I believe, the only characters they can use.
Right, so so
for
that
some reason,
makes
Universal's
difference.
Decided they didn't want Guardians right away.
Yeah, well, and exactly. Like, Universal took the most popular characters.
Yeah.
When they had their contract and that kind of thing. So Disney can actually manipulate that a bit and use things. But yeah, so he's one of the appearances. One of the other things that's kind of awesome, there's going to be a concert by Alan Menken.
Oh, nice.
That's included. And
if anybody doesn't know, if you've heard Disney songs from the Renaissance, if anything from like the Little Mermaid, that whole era of Disney, you've heard Alan Menken.
Yeah.
He wrote basically everything back then.
A lot of the Disney songs, you know, basically he wrote.
Yes.
So there's a concert. There's also actresses who voiced a lot of the princesses will be there, including Anika Noni Rose, who did the one from Princess and the Frog, Ming-Na Wen from Mulan, Alila Cravalho, who did Moana, and Jodie Benson, Little Mermaid.
Cool.
So they're going to be there. And then they have something called Disney Legends, where it's almost like their version of a Walk of Fame sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. It's basically their Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
The Walt Disney Hall of Fame.
So this year, there's 10 recognized individuals, and they include Oprah Winfrey, because she's been on ABC for 25 years.
Okay.
Disney owns ABC.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Stan Lee and Jack Kirby for the creation of Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Julie Taymor, who, if you don't know, she was, her name, she got really big when she adapted The Lion King to the stage. Because it's been, like, their, that was, like, really Disney's first massive Broadway hit, was The Lion King, and she created all the puppetry and sort of work that, with people on that. And Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher are becoming legends as well. So, you know, there's a bunch of other stuff going on, but those are the big things that are kind of attracting people to the con for Disney.
Yeah.
You know what? I just thought about something. We should take a moment to send our condolences to Stan.
Yeah, I didn't know if whether or not we were going to talk about that one.
Yeah, we should. Just,
yeah.
Joni Lee passed away earlier this week, or prior to our recording.
She was 93.
She was 93. Yeah. She had suffered a stroke and just didn't really recover from that. But they were married for what?
Over 70 years.
Over 70 years.
Yeah. Which is 70. Amazing.
Yeah.
Almost, yeah. 70. Almost 70, yeah. But still. Yeah. It's like, that's amazing. And actually, and then I heard, actually, the funny thing is, he met her and asked her to marry him the next day.
Mm-hmm.
No, no.
And she had a big role to play in the creation of a lot of Marvel books. Like, mm-hmm. she basically encouraged Stan with a lot of his stuff and told him that you know, why not just do that character. Like, he would mm-hmm. bounce things off of her all the time, and she was like, just do it. Just do that book.
Well, I guess she was a writer also.
Mm-hmm.
Not a comic writer, but she was a writer.
Right.
Right.
She was.
I guess Vicky was telling me yesterday after Spider-Man that the Fantastic Four was pretty much her fault.
Yeah.
Because Stan Lee, after Spider-Man, the way I heard the story from you, was he was ready to he was done. He was ready to get out of comics
because,
after Spider-Man.
Well, yeah, because he wanted to write, like, words and give characters, you know, personalities and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted him just fight,
right.
fight scenes.
Right.
And she's like, well, if you're gonna quit or they're gonna fire you, just make something that you're proud of.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do what you want to do in your books and the novels, but do it on the page for comic books.
Exactly.
And it changed that changed the industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I was telling Donda, I feel like she probably had to be the most long-suffering woman on the planet, you know, to have to deal with...
The personality that is Stan Lee.
That is Stan Lee. And, I mean, for somebody who devoted and gave so much of his life to Marvel Comics and to geeks, you know.
Yeah.
So we just want to send our condolences.
But, you know,
to
she was
Stan.
In the wings, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
So yeah.
So
we're back.
Well, actually, there was another sad bit of news this week for geeks who were fans of True Blood.
Yeah, we heard about that yesterday.
The mm-hmm. the actor who played Lafayette was 39 years old mm-hmm. and died with complications from heart failure.
Yeah.
Not all the details have come out or anything, but. That was just like I never watched the show, but I know the character. I read
We've
the first
seen
couple
the first
books.
Two seasons. We had the first three seasons on DVD.
And,
they were dirt cheap.
Yeah, and
he's a great character.
And he was such a beloved character that in the books he's killed off in the first book. He was kept alive for the entirety of the series.
Yeah,
because people loved him so much. So it's a big hit for fans of the show in that. So
yeah, well that happens in television a lot more than people realize. Look at who's the number one favorite character in Walking Dead?
Daryl.
Is Daryl. Everybody in the world latches onto this character. He died almost immediately in the comic book.
No, Daryl's not in the comic book.
I thought he died quick.
Mm-mm. No,
Daryl's not in the comic. Glenn died early in the comic book.
Okay.
And he
Glenn
was only
died
just
early.
Killed this season.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So, no, Daryl's not actually. Daryl and Merle are not in the comic book.
I thought Merle was in.
Mm-mm.
No?
No, they're not in the comic
book.
But yeah, that does happen all the time where they totally change off who lives and who dies.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Well,
but,
that's like in Arrow, mm-hmm. Laurel's character, the original Black Canary.
Yeah.
She was supposed to be a bit part in the beginning, and then
no,
that's not it. It was Felicity's.
Felicity
yeah. character. She was a one-off. They wanted her for the first episode where she was a tech to help him with.
Right.
Yeah.
And just something about her personality and the way she did that character, they wrote her in as, and now she's like the second to the lead.
Well, and she was not a comic character, and she was added to the comics.
No, she wasn't in the comics before, but she was in Firestorm.
Right. She was not in Arrow.
I don't remember what her character was or anything, but
right.
the name comes out of Firestorm comics.
Right. But they had her arrow afterwards.
She was a goth hacker. They just adjusted the character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the backstory they gave her for the show anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, now on to Comic-Con updates, since we didn't have all the panels last week.
Sunday is real slim, or is that normal for Comic-Con?
That's normal, because
there's like three panels, and that's
when it's the last day, people are leaving early and everything anyway, and that kind
there's
of thing.
There's like three panels, and that's it, and the two of them are award shows.
Right. There's 20th Century Fox confirmed they have a big Hall H panel on Thursday that's going to have all kinds of movie stuff, including most likely stuff for Deadpool 2. And considering it's been, you know, filming for a couple weeks, you might get footage from it.
Yeah.
Talk about The Gifted, X-Men Dark Phoenix, as well as some things about New Mutants.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting.
I still think New Mutants would do better for them as a TV series.
Well, they're kind of doing it with The Gifted.
Yeah, well.
So it's kind of, they're trying both at once. And,
yeah.
And it was confirmed that as part of a big Warner Brothers Saturday panel, Steven Spielberg is going to be at San Diego to do Ready Player One.
Oh, nice.
With the cast and Ernest Cline.
They're done filming already, so we may get our first trailer.
There may be a trailer coming out of Comic-Con.
You know what?
It's not that far away.
Kylan, you got all the luck. You got to send out to Ernie Cline, because he would come on the show.
You know what?
We're 8 months away from when the movie comes out.
Yeah, we'll get the first teaser.
There's
got to
be a teaser.
There's
going to be a teaser coming out. Yeah,
I will try. I mean,
you're a lucky guy. You're the one that, you make a phone call, hey, yeah, I'll come on.
There you go.
Yeah, hey, we'll try for Ernie Cline. We'll see, you know, hey.
Maybe we'll find out what the next book is after Armada.
There you go.
That's right. Okay, what else we got? We got Sci-Fi is has 15 panels for Comic-Con.
Oh.
And their panels include things like The Magicians, The Expanse, 12 Monkeys, Krypton, Van Helsing, Winona Earp, Dark Matter, Sharknado, because everyone needs a panel for that.
You need a panel for that, because if you actually go through all of it, it's weird, and I don't know why I've not seen any of these movies yet, but that is one of the most popular things on Sci-Fi.
I know why I've not seen any of these movies yet.
I think I would have a blast with them, just knowing, watching them, knowing that it's not, can't take any of it serious, it's all a joke.
Yeah.
Like Sharknado.
The next one's coming out soon, so. Mm-hmm. But one cool thing Sci-Fi is doing is they're having a Battlestar Galactica reunion of the most recent version of the show.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
They're bringing the cast in. They're also having, which apparently they must have had a spy or a mole or something at Con on the Cob. They're having something called Sci-Fi Host the Great Debate Panel. And it's featuring sci-fi luminaries debating genre questions, including things like the best Star Trek captain. See?
Really? Yes. Really?
Someone was watching Judge Kylan.
That's what I told. See, I'm just saying, they had a mole. And also, it doesn't say when these things are going to air, but Zachary Levi is hosting Sci-Fi Live from Comic-Con, which is going to be a live broadcast that recaps the major news from every day. It could be that it's going to be on their website. Maybe they're going to be having some of the programming on television.
Well, I saw they were running ads for it on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, so I don't know what time of day it might be on or anything.
Well, I know you mentioned Krypton, and actually on the preview night Wednesday night, I don't remember if we probably mentioned it on here already, but they are running the actual pilot of Krypton.
They are. So that'll be the
which if anybody running from the pilot, Sci-Fi out there, I'll review your pilot if you send it to me.
That's right.
Give me a screener, I'll review it.
Yep, not a problem. And another thing I found was some Doctor Who related stuff for Comic-Con. They're going to have a classic Doctor Who panel to discuss the first 26 years, you know, just a little discussion.
That's only 5 minutes, though. Nothing happened that time.
And it's actually going to have 5th Doctor Peter Davison, 6th Doctor Colin Baker, and Sophie Aldred, who played the 7th Doctor's companion, Ace.
Okay.
Who was awesome because she loved blowing things up.
Oh, yeah.
She was fantastic. She was the explosives expert. She would just blow things, just like, every time. She's like, can I blow it up now? And there will also be at this panel a sneak peek at a newly reconstructed lost episode of a second Doctor story called The Wheel in Space. So, if you don't know the history of a lot of this classic Doctor Who stuff, a lot of it was lost in the BBC archives. And they've found some of it. They've been able to reconstruct and piece together some old episodes, which they have actually played on BBC America at times. Mm-hmm. There have also been ones where all they've had is the audio. So, they've created animation, which they did last year, I believe. Mm-hmm. They did one. For some of the episodes. So this, it doesn't say that it's just audio only, so we'll see, but it's got a sneak peek at a newly reconstructed episode. And there's also a current Doctor Who panel, not surprisingly, in Hall H on Sunday. And it's going to have Peter Capaldi, Pearl Mackey, who plays Bill, Matt Lucas, who plays Nardole. It'll have Missy there. Mark Gatiss and Stephen Moffat will be there. So hopefully no one will get killed on the panel.
Yeah.
but so there will be interesting discussions based on what happened at the end of the season and the upcoming Christmas special.
Well, we have another one that's Doctor Who related, kind of, and Arrow related, and John Barrowman has an Anything Goes with John Barrowman panel.
That's not surprising.
Oh my God.
It says, join actor and entertainer John Barrowman for his outrageously entertaining one-man show. Ask him anything, and remember, anything goes.
Yes, those are the ones he usually shows up in a dress, and a different dress every time. Though I've noticed,
it is nice. Different.
Well, I know when we saw him at Dragon Con a few years ago, although he wasn't in a dress, he did get up on his chair and pull his pants down for the audience.
Yeah.
So you know that was
yeah.
So what, did he pull an Andy?
That was pulled him down and. Yeah. So it was a Torchwood panel, so it was the one who played Reese was there too, and he convinced him to do it too. Remember?
Yes, he did. Yeah, Reese.
Yeah,
Reese got to pull down the pants.
Yeah, so everyone had to pull down their pants apparently. But yeah, so that'll be interesting if nothing else.
Yes.
That was when I got my picture with him.
Yeah, that was the same day we met him outside. Mm-hmm. Not with his pants pulled.
Not with his pants on.
His pants were back up again.
Well, at that point, if you're at a panel, you drop your pants, you might just leave them off all the rest of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I could just imagine a selfie.
Yeah.
You know,
Barrowman is an awesome person, or character in general.
He is a character.
Yes.
But the one other thing I had for San Diego was some news about Vendor, who won't be there after 44 years.
Yeah.
Mile High Comics has decided to not exhibit for the first time in 44 years. Citing high costs and issues with Comic-Con management. A statement from the owner says that San Diego has grown far beyond its original premise, morphing from what was originally a wonderful annual gathering of the comics world into a world-renowned pop culture and media fest. As such, it has seen rapidly escalating costs and also a dramatic change in the demographics of its attendees. Neither of those changes worked to our advantage. And one of the things he cites is the difference in booth costs, which I thought was amazing. Now, in 1973, a one-table booth cost $40 for the entire weekend. So yeah. Not surprisingly, it was cheap. Well, as of last year, for what Mile High paid, their 70-foot space cost $18,000.
Wow.
This is where Comic-Con makes its money, okay?
And the thing is, people are not going to Comic-Con to buy comics
exactly.
anymore.
Exactly. And that's one of their biggest problems. But basically, they're saying, you know, there's decreasing foot traffic in the exhibit hall in general because off-site events are being highlighted for people. So they're not going to the vendor halls
right,
as much. And like you said, they're not really going for comics. It's become more of a media event. And even with that, essentially, they said the final straw was last year the utter indifference of the San Diego Comic-Con management to the fiasco that we endured at the beginning of last year's show when the freight handlers they hired failed to deliver our comics to our booth.
Yeah.
There are booths that sells comics, and there the Comic-Con's freight handlers didn't deliver them. I mean, and they said basically they didn't really seem to care, and he actually does say... I will very much miss San Diego Comic-Con, but I doubt the convention management will even notice I'm gone.
No.
And that's the biggest problem.
That's the problem is it's gotten big enough that it's corporate run now.
Yeah, and that's really what San Diego is. It's a corporate media event more than anything. As much as it's nice to get vendors there and that kind of thing, it's kind of sad that that's how they get treated.
And that's the reason why I think a lot of people are starting to move to the medium-sized shelves now, because those are still embrace the comic culture.
Well, the medium and smaller ones, because they know the fans look for them.
Yes.
They know that the people they get there are going to be fans of the books and even of the movies and whatever, but they're actually going to want to look for the comics.
Well, this
and
was
DVDs
Mile High Comics, right?
Yes.
Give us a call. I know a couple of conventions that would welcome you.
That's right. Yes. For a hell of a lot cheaper.
Exactly.
you might have to put the cost in to travel, but it's not going to cost you thousands of dollars when you set up.
It would not, no.
And actually, we have an in on a couple of shows that are closer to you.
That's right.
That's true. Right. That is true. So, yeah, if anybody who goes or frequents,
attend,
anybody who is in that area and they, give them our information, we will talk to them.
That's
seriously.
Right.
That's right. We're here to support the comic shops.
Yes.
Yeah.
If nothing else, on a weekly basis.
The four of us hit the comic shop every Wednesday.
That's right. We know. So, okay, that's the main news I have. I think we had enough updates on Comic Cons and stuff.
Yeah. So, actually, did you guys get a chance to Star Wars at Celebration, they announced that Forces of Destiny. Have you checked out any of that at all?
I would not.
I'm not familiar. I've heard some of it. I'm not
well,
very
they're
familiar.
All like 3 minutes long.
Okay.
And it's focusing on the female characters, and they've released seven episodes as of today. Because they have the first eight are being released on YouTube at like 10 a.m.
Right.
Each day. And tomorrow will be the last one. But it's basically they fill in, it's almost like deleted scenes from the Star Wars movies.
Okay.
Like we get the first two were Rey on Jakku right after she meets BB-8.
Right.
One is them traveling across back to her AT-AT and an adventure that happens in there.
Right.
Remember, these are 3 minutes short, so they're not that much. Mm-hmm. The second one is actually the day where she puts BB-8 on the speeder and is racing across the desert, and the Tito shows back up to try to steal BB-8 back.
Ah, okay.
They have one with Princess Leia and the Wicket.
Okay.
An adventure that takes place right after they leave the screen. It's basically what happens between when she met Wicket and when he gets to the village.
Okay.
They have one that's based on the deleted scene from Empire Strikes Back with the Wampa, and it's actually Leia,
Chewie,
and the droids meeting the Wampa in the caves under the base.
Oh, okay.
So it's that type of stuff.
All right, cool.
And they're all real quick.
That was so cute.
Which one? Which part of it?
Chewie was a stuffed animal.
Oh.
Nice.
Wampa cuddling with his Chewie doll.
Sleeping and Chewie screeching for help.
So I mean, they're all awesome. There's a couple with Ahsoka Tano and Padme. It's just it's fun stuff,
right.
And it's basically introducing this new toy line that's directed towards girls from Star Wars.
Right,
and all of that drops on August 1st. All
right, cool.
So, but if you go
fork,
to the
a fork, throtted, an assassination.
Yes, that was last night's one. But yeah, if you go to Disney's YouTube channel. That's where you can get these videos.
Okay.
You look up for the Forces of Destiny.
Cool.
And they have all of the original actors and voice actors and stuff from the movies and the Clone Wars and Rebels.
Right.
So, like, they have Felicity Jones is in there. Like I said, anybody you know from the movies, they're playing their own characters.
Okay. Oh, sweet.
So, it's good stuff. It's worth the 10 minutes, because like I said, it's 3 minutes and you got 8 episodes for the first one. So, you got 24 minutes total listening, or watching.
Cool. Also this week on Netflix, well, I believe it was on Friday, which was the 7th, the first season of Castlevania dropped.
Oh, it did?
And I believe it's 4 episodes, and they're like 20 minutes each. From what I've seemed like I've heard good buzz about it. I haven't had a chance to watch them yet, and
We'll check it out.
Yeah,
well, it just dropped.
Yeah.
But I'll binge them.
The thing is, I'm going to binge that, and it's going to make me want to plug in the Nintendo and pop in Castlevania.
Exactly.
There you go.
So,
Castlevania 1 and 3. Simon's Quest is it's hard to keep going, because that was one of the most confusing role-playing games I've ever played. Castlevania 2.
I never played Castlevania 2.
A lot of you have to hit the exact right thing at the exact right time, or it doesn't start the next part of the game.
Wow. Jeez. See, okay.
So all of a sudden you're going back and forth. It's like, I've been through the whole world. I can't figure out what to do. That's because you didn't do the one thing back here gave you the other option of the next door.
Oh. Okay, see. But see, some people don't realize that some of those games, some of those Nintendo games, the NES games, were really intricate.
Yeah.
You know, for it to have been, that was a 16-bit system?
8-bit.
That was 8-bit?
Yeah, SNES was 16.
Right, so for an 8-bit system, there were some of those games were really, really hard.
Did you see they're doing with the SNES what they did with the NES last year?
Yep.
We get the SNES Classic.
You know
Good
what?
Luck with that.
Yeah, that one I don't see as being as big. I think they need to put more of the NES Classic back out.
They do, but they won't. And I think that's crappy that they're doing that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so cool.
There we go.
There we go.
So anything else from anybody before we start spoiling stuff? Let's spoil a bunch of stuff.
Let's spoil
stuff.
We
went and saw Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Ant-Man. There were actually a couple of villains in there that weren't actually villains yet. Or at least not Spider-Man villains yet.
Right.
So, I don't know. Where do we want to start with this?
Hawkman was a villain, though.
That wasn't Hawkman. That was Vulture. No, Hawkman has real wings.
Yeah.
Vulture does
not. Well, we can start with the fact that it's expected by the end of Sunday to bring in more than $115 million domestic.
Nice.
Their original estimates were around 100, and they've already upped that.
The weird thing is that almost sounds low. Because in the last couple of years, the summer blockbusters have been pulling huge numbers.
Right, right.
And this summer has just been a little off for that.
And it makes it the second highest opening for a Sony Spidey. I looked at apparently the highest was Spider-Man 3. With $151 million.
Because everybody expected it to be phenomenal.
See, and Kylan was saying, he's like, well, everyone wanted to see Venom.
No, you're excited about the black suit, you're excited about Venom, and it was such a letdown.
And maybe that's why people are slightly hesitant for this one, I don't know.
I've said for a long time ago, I've said it on here, that the problem is Spider-Man 3 should have been Spider-Man 3 and 4.
Yeah, it should have been.
They did too much all at once.
They stuffed so much in that movie, and it was just... Yeah, so...
But back then, it was... You gotta remember, all the superhero movies are trying to put 2 and 3 and 4 villains in a movie.
Right.
They're doing it poorly. They did the same thing with the Dark Knight trilogy for Batman and just barely pulled it off well. I mean, they pulled it off good. They didn't pull it off well.
They've learned over time that you just need one primary villain if you have one primary hero.
Yeah.
Right.
If you throw in other ones, you do like they did with this, with Shocker, where he was working for the Vulture.
That's right. That's right. Shocker, and then at the end you get Scorpion. I mean, you've got the little guys who are involved, but unless you know the books, the characters, etc., the history, you don't know that they're the guys that are coming later.
Yeah.
Right.
And the other thing is, they might not show up in a movie later. They might just, you know...
They may have just been, a little teases.
But, I mean, there's the possibility they leave the doors open for them.
Exactly.
So, this
definitely had the Marvel method in it.
It did.
This unquestionably was a Marvel movie with a Sony name.
Yeah.
Which was
kind of interesting, seeing the Sony logos at the beginning. Then you get a scene, and then you get the Marvel open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, from the start... It pulled me in when it had the classic Spider-Man theme song.
Yes.
Yeah, a reworking of the original Spider-Man.
I had to point
it out to Vicky because she's never seen the original show.
As soon as that happened, I was like, okay, this is good.
Yeah, I was sitting there like, all of a sudden, I was 7 years old.
You were waiting for the cartoon to start.
Waiting for the cartoon, and I'm sitting on the floor waiting for, yes.
Yeah, it worked from the start.
And we got no origin for Spider-Man.
Right.
Finally.
They've learned that the origins... technically, the movie itself was not an origin story. The origin was mentioned in a minute-long conversation between Peter and his buddy Ned.
Yeah.
As they're walking down the street. You mean it was a spider? Yeah, I got bit by a spider. The spider's dead, Ned.
It's stuff like they didn't go through... And, as part of the show, you find out that he's got the mechanical web slingers, and it doesn't say anything about how he learned how to make them or anything else. He has them.
He's a science kid.
These are the things that were awesome about this.
And the thing is, you got part of his origin during Civil War.
Yeah.
When Tony first visited him and saw his homemade suit.
Yeah, he's like...
You know, you got that part of the origin story there, and in this movie... went back to it when Tony took the suit away.
Yeah.
Right.
So...
And you get... in the beginning, it was awesome seeing Spider-Man's handheld camera point of view of Civil War.
Yes.
Of everything they had that he did during Civil War.
That was awesome because you got, number one, you got the feel of it really being a teenager.
Right.
Wanting to, like, take everything, shots of everything and have the movies. And you also got the explanation of continuity. You right. know exactly. You know this happens in the now.
Yeah.
You know what happens after Civil War.
Right.
So Marvel doesn't have to have you guess where does this happen, where does it fit. Mm-hmm. It's boom right there.
And we know where Happy is now.
Yeah.
Because I mean,
you're Happy. You know where Happy is.
Because you didn't see Happy in Spider-Man 3.
No.
I mean Iron Man 3. You didn't see Happy anywhere.
Mm-hmm. He went away for a bit.
You know, he was gone for
just
a bit.
Just like Pepper went away for a bit.
Yeah. And it was so cool that. It was like, you know, they trusted the audience to be smart enough to kind of put stuff together on their own.
Well, they've conditioned us to be smart enough to do that.
That's yes. right.
With the amount yes. of Spider-Man movies.
Right.
Or not Spider-Man, but yeah, with the amount of Spider-Man and just general Marvel comic
all the Marvel
movies. And if you're not, it was still a good movie. I don't
yeah.
know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Even if you didn't know the origins and stuff, I didn't think you would be lost at all in this.
Well, and, you know, they hinted at the issues that Aunt May had.
Well, they didn't have to make a big deal about
Ben being
killed or anything, because at one point Peter just goes, you know, with everything she's been through, she doesn't need this.
Yeah.
Like,
well, also,
you didn't have to know.
What I thought was awesome was this entire movie, they played with the fact that you got Hot Aunt May.
Yes.
Everybody was playing with that.
they went there.
And she's
so
oblivious.
Funny.
She's totally
yeah,
oblivious.
She is. Like, oh, look, it's rice pudding. It's like, yeah, he gave you rice. Yeah.
Every scene you see her in, it's like, they point out, yeah, we got a Hot Aunt May now.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it was funny when Peter went to get the sandwich and the owner of the deli
hey, how's your aunt?
Is speaking in, was it Italian or Portuguese or something?
Something.
Saying something about this is the kid with the hot aunt, and then he replies to him and says, how's your daughter?
He gives her $10. Oh, come on now, I was just playing.
It's okay. It's $10.
That was the good thing about this movie, is different from a lot of Marvel movies because it has a lot more humor, and it was a lot lighter.
Which, right. I've not read Spider-Man much. I've watched him on TV and all that. But from everything I know and what I've seen on TV and stuff, that's what Spider-Man needs.
Exactly.
Spider-Man is a comedian. That's who he is.
Spidey is a bit lighter. And I, honestly, somebody else who is actually a bit of a comedian too, but you probably won't see it much in the comics, is Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange is a bit of a smart aleck too.
Yeah, but Doctor Strange is like that in a much more serious way.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Spidey, he's a teenager.
Spidey right. is what we saw on the screen.
Yeah, right. this was the first time that you really saw Spider-Man on the screen. Like, Tobey Maguire was okay. I never saw Andrew Garfield because I just wasn't willing to see that as Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. But this, knowing, like, the actor himself...
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just, like, exuberant. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to say it. Like, he's just...
Yeah. He's
just
excited
got
to be in this.
Exactly. He's excited. He loves being Spider-Man. Like, just... Peter Parker loves being Spider-Man.
Yes.
And he just wants to do stuff.
Yeah.
And you got that... That came across really well in the acting. And, like, the way he was portrayed. It just came across really well as the young character that it was supposed to be.
And it was interesting. It was interesting that they were able to... inject just the right, and we were talking about this, just the right amount of humor and not make it silly.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that, and Tom Holland, I don't know how old he actually is, but in this, they make Spider-Man
He's barely like 21, 22.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they make Spider-Man a 15-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, they thought he was 14. He says, no, I'm 15.
Yeah.
Right.
But, they actually did a fantastic job of making him feel like a 15-year-old kid who doesn't have his crap together yet.
Right.
He has no idea what he's doing, and you see that through this whole thing.
And this is the first
time
that they...
Even at the end, he doesn't know what he's doing yet.
And this is the first time that they did that in a Spider-Man movie, because even with Tobey Maguire, the worst thing you get is him trying to figure out, you know, how to shoot webs. And all of a sudden, he's able to do everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
in this one, you have Spidey essentially chasing after the van in his first big scene, and wrecking everything along the way,
like
as he's doing his Ferris Bueller moment and trying to catch up with them, wrecking tree houses and yes. cars and bringing down branches and
that's just another
splashing
thing
to... water all over the yeah. party and taking the fireplace with it.
Yes. Well, that's another thing you never got in the Spider-Man movie before is we got Spider-Man outside of the city.
Right.
Because really, that's it. Like we saw here. When you move Spider-Man outside of the towering concrete jungle... He's kind of stuck.
Yeah, like when he
was
first tried
to swing on.
When he first tried to get away, and it was a golf course. Like,
but see, in the in the cartoons,
to attach these two.
In the cartoons, you see that all the time. And like Hugo, and then he, I'm like, it answers that question. What does he do?
Uh huh.
Well, the funny thing was,
Ned
when,
asked him that. How far?
Yeah,
how far?
Ned asked him how far does it shoot. He's like, I don't know. And then
apparently not
10
far
minutes
enough.
Later, he actually shoots, and there's nothing for it to catch on.
And he's running. I hate this
because I'm sitting there like,
Well, no. Did you guys see the sprinklers pop up in the?
Yes.
And I'm like, that's Spidey's luck right there.
Yeah.
Because not only is there nothing to shoot, but then he's gonna get wet. So, and which would explain why there's a Spidey mobile. Which we don't actually get.
Well, no, like I don't think that was ever actually in the comics, was it?
No, I don't think that. What you know? What I take that back. There was because
he doesn't get a Spidey mobile. Did you see what he did to Flash's dad's car? The kid can't drive.
He doesn't have
a license.
In the Marvel vehicle owner's guide that I have, the Spidey mobile is in there. So at some point, it happens. I don't know when or where.
Because it's a reference to the cartoons and stuff. Wait a minute, what do you got?
Is it me or you expected him to go splat on that house with all the windows on her house?
At some point, splat, right?
You know, they're all hollering, you know, for Peter and Spider-Man, and then Samara and splat on the window.
Mm-hmm. That would be funny. Yeah.
Well, that actually kind of brings it in. This is the first time we've seen a Spider-Man movie that it wasn't one of his classic love interests in it either.
No.
We had there was only one other character, two other characters
yes.
that he's going to school with that are actually from the comics originally. We have Flash Thompson.
Right.
Who is just the biggest jerk in the world, which is supposed to be.
Right.
And then you said, who was the other one?
Betty Brant.
Is that the only two characters that were out of that you recognize from the comics?
Well, Liz is in the comics.
Yeah, Liz is in the comics.
His love interest. She is in the comics, but... She was never his love interest.
No, she was never his love interest, no.
Was she who she is in this movie?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, there's the next big question.
And actually, in the comics, she hooks up with Harry?
Harry.
Harry Osborn.
Okay.
And,
well, then you guys were not surprised by who her father was.
No.
See, we were surprised because I didn't know the character of Liz.
Right.
And if you didn't know who that was, they did a fantastic job of just... And I never questioned why they never showed her parents.
Right.
During the whole movie,
Kids, you didn't see the parents, it didn't matter.
And then when you find out that her father's the Vulture, then all of a sudden the entire movie clicks.
That's right.
It's like a part of the key puzzle that you did not know was missing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it clicks in, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then you're a 15-year-old kid, and you're supposed to be cool with this, but... And this guy just tried to kill you.
Yeah.
And you know, I just love how, like, he's giving them the stink eye, but he's, like, trying to be cool about it. And I'm like, that's a 15-year-old for
you.
They can't separate the two.
And then that also gets into...
How easy everybody figured out who he was.
Yeah. Well, that also gets into this... I'm going to get into Michael Keaton here in a minute. But how awesome it was that they made the Vulture smart enough
that
it took him 30 seconds to figure out what was going on.
Yeah, it was a good character.
Within 15 minutes, he realized, wait a minute.
Well, the thing is, though, you knew Vulture was smart from the start because of how, you know, once he got fired by Damage Control and he decided to still make his money.
Yes.
And find a way, as illegal as it was, find a way to make his money out of the destruction of the city. And so you kind of knew the smarts were there anyway, and it was good that that was reflected, and he wasn't just another stupid villain who was like, oh, I'm never going to guess who this is.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, definitely.
And I mean, the thing was, his motivation was his family.
Exactly.
And to a certain degree, that was honorable, but at the same time, he used it as an excuse to do some really bad stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he had murdered one of his crew members...
Yeah, the original Shocker.
The original Shocker.
Well,
Shocker
1. That was an accident.
Right.
He grabbed the wrong gun.
Oh, yeah, he grabbed... Wait, yeah, I thought that was the gravity gun.
He didn't exactly intend, that's true.
But he didn't feel bad about it.
Nah.
But then the fact that in the very, very end, he did not give up his actual
Yeah, who Peter was.
No.
He was Spider-Wolf. I was a little surprised.
Well, yeah, by that point, though, Peter had saved his life.
Yeah.
Right.
So there is... Now, in the comic books, is that Vulture's personality?
Well, see, in the comics, like, Vulture is much older, for one. Vulture,
I don't know, Michael Keaton's like 60.
I don't know. See, to me,
he doesn't look. What it is he doesn't look old.
He doesn't look old like in the comic.
Vulture, that's true. He's like this almost like decrepit old guy in the comics.
It's like you would think. It's Michael Keaton almost in this looks like he could just go down to the cave and put on the bat suit again. No problem.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, that personality to a certain degree is there, but they kind of made Vulture like in the comics is almost pretty two-dimensional, to be honest with you.
Well,
at least my understanding of the character.
That's the thing I've talked to Vicky about is Spidey has a rogues gallery like Batman.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, he's like Marvel's Batman when it comes to the rogues gallery.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But when you have that many villains, there's not... A lot of times, there's not a lot of development on the villain.
No. Right.
It's like, this guy robs banks. Okay, so what is he going to do in the comic book? He's going to rob banks.
Right.
We don't need a backstory. We just know this is what he does, this is how he does it.
Right.
And I mean, for the longest time, like, the main villain with the most development has been Green Goblin.
Yeah.
And we've gotten so much Green Goblin.
And can we just say how awesome it was that they did not go for Green Goblin?
Or Doc.
Or Doc
like I said,
Ock. Like, they
Doc
didn't
Ock
go
and Green Goblin, the two big ones.
Right.
They left out of it.
They
gave us a new villain who basically had his entire backstory right at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of cool. We got an origin for a villain, but not an origin for the hero.
Right, and we didn't need much for the villain. Like he became a full character immediately because
mm-hmm.
he was so disappointed when he lost that contract because of all the people he had to support, and he was considering not only his family but everyone else's families.
Yeah, the rest
so
of his
he was
crew.
A very like he's a very working man's kind of villain.
Yeah,
that like that's what created this horribleness in him was that well I still have to make the money and I'll go against the government to do it.
Right.
And it was all about supporting his families.
Yeah.
Well, it's like what they were saying too. They made the mess and they're getting paid to clean it up.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because if you look, we did get the introduction of damage control finally.
Yep.
Yes.
So it looks like we're not getting it on the TV as quickly as we thought it was.
Well, interestingly, though.
Unless this is what sprints it off and lets us do it on TV.
The thing is, though, damage control was first mentioned on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., what, last season or a season and a half ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were actually first introduced on television, though not visually.
Right.
But also.
So
like,
now you actually get damage control, which is such a government organization.
Yeah. Like, the funny thing is, it's really not. Because
no,
if you look at
not.
This, like everything else in the Marvel Universe right now, Tony Stark owns this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, Tony Stark started this organization, so he basically owns the Avengers, if you look at the way that they've done all this.
Yeah.
It looks, from the outside, it looks like Tony Stark owns the Avengers. They caused all the problems, then he's going to have damage control, charge the government to fix everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Tell me he's not the smart businessman.
No.
That's pretty much how it works in the real
and
world,
he's got
too.
Cap doing those.
Yeah, the Captain America
PSAs were awesome.
Yes.
Including the one that Marvel finally trolled the fans.
Yes.
Yes.
At the very, very... If you've seen the movie, you have to have sat through it until the very end, because if you didn't, you missed something.
Yeah.
The thing is, you missed something that was really funny, but has nothing to do with the movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a couple things I had questions on.
Uh-huh.
From the newer versions of Spidey, probably, and I think it's from more of the cartoons that he's had some of the tech in the suit. But in the comics, does he ever have anywhere near that kind of tech?
Only when he becomes Iron Spider. And
okay.
See, that's the suit that Tony makes for him.
Is that the Iron Spider suit? I thought it was.
Yeah, and it's the Iron Spider suit. And so, in essence, you kind of get a little bit of the Iron Spider suit in this one.
Yeah.
Because, like, his
AI
original
in the suit.
Yeah, because his original suit.
Yeah, it was just spandex.
Just spandex, so...
I just want to talk about Aunt May when she walked in and she saw him, basically naked. And then...
And yeah, he's in his boxers and Ned's sitting there and it's like, why are the two teenage boys, one of them in their boxers?
She didn't even question that. She's like, you know, you want tie? You should put some clothes on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Peter, before you come out, you probably should put clothes on.
And then the very end, naked, she walks back into his room.
Yeah, the very end of the movie when she...
That was perhaps the best ending they've ever had at one of the superhero movies.
Aunt May, that was like a golden rule. Like, Aunt May never knows.
Yep.
And so this is awesome.
They've changed it.
This yeah. is awesome. Like, I'm just like, I'm excited to see.
Well, everyone else figured it out.
Yeah.
I mean, she's going to slowly regret walking into his room.
Yeah, she's going to stop
eventually
walking
she's gonna, yeah, just she's going to learn to knock.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing is, he can't hide it because she saw him crawl in and put the thing on. Well, no. She didn't see him crawl in.
No. That was Ned. Ned was sitting in his bed when he crawled in the room.
She saw him take the mask off.
Right.
At the end. That was what it was.
That and the part with Ned earlier, what you're talking about.
Right.
It's great because it wasn't just that he climbed in the window and was wearing a Spider-Man suit. No, he crawled in. They showed purposely that he used all these different Spider-Man abilities that he couldn't play off.
Right.
He climbed across the ceiling.
Well, the way he opened the window.
Yeah.
With his feet, he slid the window open.
Right.
Yeah.
And then crawled in and closed it.
But then closed it with his foot. And then he uses the webs to close
the door.
Close
the door, right.
So that no matter what he tells Ned, who watched him do all this, he can't deny this.
No.
Ned's got the biggest mouth.
It's like, dude, I gotta tell everybody.
Ned was a great sidekick. He's actually based on, it's kind of confusing, but he's actually based on a character in the Miles Morales version of Spider-Man.
Right.
Okay.
Is he called Gank or something? Like he's got
something
a weird name. But it's almost like the way the character looks is basically exactly how Ned looks.
Okay.
Like so, it's pretty much the same character. He's best buds with him and all that kind of thing. I think Ned did really well in this, though, being both the sidekick and the one who got audiences explanations for things if
yeah.
they weren't
he
into
played, he was
it.
Us.
Yeah.
yeah.
Or he was not us. He was the, yeah, the just normal,
he was,
everyday
he was the mainstream,
type, yeah.
right. And I just want to mention, he dropped that Death Star, that Lego Death Star.
Yeah.
Yes.
They had seven of those when they were in production because they had to do so many takes. They had seven of them. Created.
Yeah,
because
like,
they had to keep dropping.
It takes a lot of work to put that thing together.
That's a lot of work.
And then they had
it's
to put
interns.
Another one together because
yeah.
at the end of the show they were putting it together again.
Exactly. So that's something they couldn't have just created. Like anyone who's in the Lego
Star.
Knows you have to put these things together.
Yeah, I've seen that, and it's like a $450 Lego.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's like 2,000
pieces.
But
I want the Death Star.
That's a lot of pieces. Yeah.
Well, did you see the actor on the red carpet, the one that plays Spider-Man? He finally was able to bring his pit bull on on a red carpet.
Yeah.
She wasn't very happy with all the cameras, but then she was
yeah.
after that.
Cool. But there was some...
Oh, and there were a few, more than a few fairly deep Easter eggs in this one, too.
Yeah.
We actually...
One that we didn't get that I want to ask about in a minute.
Because we get one going all the way back to Captain America, First Avenger. The principal's, the picture on the principal's...
I pointed out to Kylan.
Yeah.
I got this one.
Don got
this. The principal of the high school, when Peter is in his office, you get a shot of him and the filing cabinet, which has a photo, a black and white photo of someone in the military and medals behind him. And I whispered to Kylan, Howling Commandos. And it's the same actor that played one of the Howling Commandos in the first Captain America.
So it makes it that what his grandfather or someone was
exactly.
a Howling Commando.
Right.
Exactly.
So there was the first one. And then the second one was... Well, now this one, I don't know if anybody would catch this one. Don pointed this one out to me. One of the cars... is during the ferry scene.
Yeah.
One of the cars has a license plate that is the SM2
I remember there was a specialty
563.
Yeah, SM2
There was a specialty plate I saw somewhere in there and I didn't know what the reference
right.
was, but I knew if you're going to have a specialty plate it's going to be a reference.
Yeah, it was
to
one of the cars at the front when they were in the ferry.
Right.
And it was like SM2 563,
which is Spider-Man number 2, May 1963, which was the
first
issue...
appearance of Vulture.
Yeah, first appearance of Vulture.
Cool.
That was a deep one.
Yeah.
Some of the Easter eggs that were spotted basically had to do with a lot of classic Spider-Man covers.
Yeah.
Had to do with, like, when he was trapped under concrete and he looked at his reflection in the puddle and
mm-hmm.
his mask was there. So
that
it
had to
like,
been a cover, yeah.
Well, no, it looked like
something.
Part of his face and part of the mask. That was, like, how was it Kirby mm-hmm. used to draw spider sense.
Yeah, spider sense. Was it when it was like
half his face was the mask?
Wasn't there for years? Because Marvel in the corner there would have a logo for Marvel Comics, and a lot of people recognized that they always had Spider-Man in the corner of all their comics.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But didn't they have for a while where it was actually the split
for
face
a while
and
they
it was
had
Peter
the split,
and the Spider-Man?
Yeah.
They had the split, and they also had sometimes they would have the circle. You remember how you see him flat doing? He was playing with the suit, and one of the things that came out was almost like a spider.
Yeah, spider.
Yeah,
the one that was at the end of one of the other movies when he first got. Was that at the end of Civil War? Was one of the credit scenes when that flashed on?
Yes.
When he got that.
Yeah. So like some of the some of the Spider-Man logos would be like the circle with the face, and they would do that.
So there was
about
a lot
Spider-Man
of like
stuff.
Direct comic Easter eggs that a lot of people wouldn't get.
Now, in this. Tony has sold Avenger Tower. Mm-hmm. I was wondering with Vicky, is like, what's the chances that... Because Vernon, I don't remember what he was talking about, or I gotta ask him what it was. But he said he went and saw this Thursday night, mm-hmm. and he said, last year, remember we recorded a show at my work, mm-hmm. and we were talking about Spider-Man or something, you know?
Okay.
But he said we had talked about something that is actually in this movie.
Oh.
I gotta find out what it is. I don't remember.
Now we gotta go find the episode.
One thing I was thinking was maybe we were talking. It was during Deadpool. We were talking about them talking about bringing the Fantastic Four in or something. I was wondering, what's the chances that Tony sold this building to Reed Richards? It becomes the new Baxter Building. But they didn't. It wasn't in the trailer. In the
credits. He couldn't. I mean, technically, he couldn't say it.
They didn't. Because, yeah, they did. So they never said who they sold the building. He's like, the building's already sold.
That's true. He didn't say who it was sold to.
What's the chances that they are talking? They have
that,
talked.
That could leave it open ended. Yeah.
That could leave it open ended.
Well, then, how many times we said this with we said it with Deadpool. We said it with other ones that there's all these little things that look like there's somebody talking somewhere. Like there's a helicarrier in Deadpool.
That's right.
Right.
There's this building, this giant superhero headquarter building.
There's only certain people who could buy it.
And
businesses.
And to be in, it was about 3 weeks ago, just out of the blue, for no reason at all, Feige comes out and says there's no plans between Marvel and Fox regarding
they've
the
been
Fantastic
saying that,
Four.
Yeah, they've
and
been
there was
saying
no
that
reason,
lot.
No news anywhere for that to even come out.
And
I still think
they're
something's
protesting
come
too much.
Up.
Yeah.
Smarty Pants me, who did I say bought it?
I don't remember. Who were you saying?
I said Bruce bought it.
Oh, Bruce Wayne? Yeah, but Bruce Wayne got that kind of cash.
No.
Or no, wait, Bruce Wayne. Not Bruce Wayne. I was thinking, no, you said
no,
Bruce.
You were
I was thinking
about
the other
Banner.
Way. Bruce Banner. Bruce Banner don't got that kind
no,
of money.
No, no,
Banner don't have that kind
Batman
of money.
Batman is a
yeah.
joke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and speaking of Banner,
yes.
his portrait appears in Peter's math class. There's, in the math class, at the very head of the class, when you see the teacher. There's a lot of portraits across the top of the blackboard mm-hmm. of like Einstein and Tesla and all these scientists. Bruce Banner's up there.
Cool. Actually, now this is a high school for math and science.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you look at some of these classes these kids are taking, this is a supervillain academy. Some of the stuff they did.
Which
look
is
at
pretty
the, what
much
doing
most,
in the,
most STEM academies
right.
yeah. are for supervillains.
Yeah,
really.
That's true.
You look at in the chemistry class what they're working with, right. and he's creating his web fluid in the drawer in the chemistry class.
Yeah, he's got juice. All of these things available to him.
And no
his
one's
the different physics classes and stuff is like, dude, they're breeding an entire generation of supervillains.
Or heroes.
wait, what about the teacher that said, I haven't lost any students. You know, not again.
Yeah,
not again. On the trip. I can't lose someone on a student trip again.
Yes. Well, you know what it is?
Hilarious.
This is the Marvel Universe's version of Sky High.
Yeah.
You guys ever see that one?
There you go.
So you get either the superhero track or the supervillain track.
Now, okay, one, two things, actually. One of them was the voice of Karen.
Yes.
That was a bit of an Easter egg, depending on what you want to consider an Easter egg, because it's Jennifer Connelly.
Oh, nice.
Who has already been in Marvel as Ross in Hulk.
Right.
And for those who don't know, she's married to Paul Bettany, who's the voice of Jarvis.
Oh, nice.
So you have...
Well, isn't that also Vision?
Vision, exactly. Vision,
yeah.
Vision as well. But the fact that it's a voice,
yeah.
you know, Jarvis and Karen are married. But the other one I wanted to mention was Donald Glover.
Yes.
Because when it was first talked about a new Spidey film before the Andrew Garfield ones, there was a lot of talk about Donald Glover being Spidey and being the Miles Morales version of it.
Mm-hmm.
While he appears in this movie, obviously he's past the age of being able to be Miles Morales anyway. But
unless they switch up the story a little bit,
he's
then.
Yeah. But the thing is, they'd have to switch it up a lot based on Peter's age.
Yeah.
But they've, okay, by having him in this and the character he is, Miles Morales is part of the movie. Because his character's name is Aaron Davis. He's a small-time crook. In the current version of the comics, he becomes an expert thief called the Prowler. Now, if you remember in the movie, when he met with Spidey, he talked about not wanting these weapons because his nephew lives in the neighborhood and all this kind of thing. Well, the Prowler in the comics accidentally steals a radioactive spider. He gets caught in his backpack when he's robbing Oscorp.
Because they have those all over the place.
Well, it's in Oscorp, so that's not surprisingly. But and this spider bites the character's nephew, Miles Morales.
Oh, nice.
So though not mentioned in the film, Miles Morales is in this film.
Yes. They set it up so that Miles can come in.
Yes.
And his nephew is young.
He's his nephew, exactly. So he's got the age right, and he now officially exists in the Marvel Universe.
There you go.
I love the fact that in this one...
But it would be best if he was a toddler.
Well, what? He didn't say how old he was.
Yeah.
Well, no, but can you imagine if it was a toddler?
What, then become Spider-Man? Yeah. No.
Why not?
That'd be crazy.
Exactly.
But, no, the cool thing was with Spidey, they took all the different... Because of the way they did the web shooters in this. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or he gets bit and doesn't... his abilities doesn't show up until he hits puberty.
Possibly. It actually becomes like a mutant gene almost that doesn't activate. But, cool thing is with the way they did the web shooters in this, mm-hmm. that they're, that they have all these different settings. You saw all the different ways that he's ever used webs in Spider-Man comics, I believe.
That's true. Well, most
they said
of them,
there was what, like a 110 or something different combinations of what you could do.
Well, yeah. I mean, cause
and the fact that, you know, once they took that training wheels protocol off the suit and he had all of these available.
He had no idea how to do it.
And then suddenly realizes there was a reason this lockdown was on the suit to begin with.
And Karen keeps trying to activate kill mode.
Instant kill. Instant kill. Like, how does instant kill work with the webs? Like,
why did Tony put kill mode in the suit?
What the hell is in the webs that it gets instant kill?
Well, I mean, you saw your taser. Eyeballs.
That's true.
You saw he had taser web.
That's true. He did have taser. It's strong enough that could kill him.
I like the whole web grenades.
Yeah,
that was awesome. Yeah.
Like in one of the games I played, the game that was based off the first Spider-Man movie, the one from like 2002, whatever.
Yeah.
Like Spidey could do, like, he was able to shoot like balls. Sort of like what he did when the training wheels came off.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he was like shooting pellets. So he could do that. And in the comics, like, he was able to make a parachute. He's been able to make a shield.
Yeah.
There's a ton of stuff that he's been able to do.
Well, and it shows you how effective the webbing itself is in this. Because when he's able to basically, you know, meld people to walls, or like when he actually at one point, just so his backpack doesn't get lost, he webs up his backpack against the wall.
Yes.
And he did that more than once, and if I remember right, it was stolen more than once.
Right. Well, actually, the first time it was stolen, though, he hadn't webbed it at all. He threw it in the corner.
Right.
Yeah.
He hadn't webbed it in that alley. But it does show, like, and all the stuff he tries to do when he's locked in the damage control warehouse and he can't get out, the stuff he tries to do with the webs that don't work.
Yeah.
But just like all the, it's amazing, like the whatever chemistry they've created with it to make it look so effective on screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When it's on the wall or on a person or something that you actually believe this is like super strong webbing.
And what's awesome is the throwaway line that explains to anybody who doesn't know how the webs disintegrate on their own. It was just a throwaway line. It's like, that'll be gone in 2 hours as he's walking away.
Yeah.
Spider-Man fans, anybody who's seen the movies or cartoons or anything, that's been addressed years ago.
Right.
That the webs degrade on their own after a certain amount of time.
Right.
Which is funny because he's in the warehouse, made that hammock out of webs. So eventually he's going to hit his head.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. How long's he got?
Well, and it was like, you know, that was one of those things. Like, like you would see him like in the comics, like, working on the webbing to get it to last longer and that sort of thing. And I was like, you know what? That makes sense.
But really, he has that automatically now with the upgrades in his suit.
Right.
Because obviously the web chemistry must have been changed mm-hmm. by Tony to be able to be tasered
yeah.
and to become grenades and to yeah. become kill and all, you know.
That's the other one.
Kill.
Changing out the cartridges, how quick it's like click, 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 done. Uh-huh. And they actually pointed that out in those by little things here and there that he has to actually think of this stuff. He does run out of fluid.
Exactly. Yeah. This is not, you know, at one point in the comics, it was a natural
mm-hmm.
sort of thing when he got bit by the spider and it, yeah. he didn't create the fluids. But it's kind of like you think, well, but it's Spider-Man. Shouldn't it be natural? But no. his natural abilities have to do with the strength and yeah. his ability to, like, cling.
He doesn't
to
have new
and
organs added to his body.
Right.
Well,
right.
See, well, they did that in Ultimate Spider-Man.
Say, there have been Spider-Man yeah. comics that he does have the organic
right.
web slingers.
Right. He becomes more of a mutation
yeah.
right.
at that point. Whereas this, it's almost like it's not as much of a mutation when it's just super strength
yeah.
well, and agility and that
Spider-Man
kind of thing.
Classically is, what is it, the altered human.
Right.
He's
right.
not a mutant.
He's right. not a mutant, yeah, he's altered. Yeah.
He's right. basically, he fits in the category with Captain America and guys like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Because something happened to him, external force created the ability.
Right. Well, his antics,
but then,
just that, you know,
but it does change him genetically. You know.
He's growing up and blooming.
Yes.
That's right.
It does change him genetically because
yeah.
when he has a kid, she's a mutant.
But that's an exterior force.
Yeah, that
him.
Is. Yeah. yeah. But yeah, he's still, he's altered.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah. Nothing within him has mutated.
No.
To
no.
that extent.
Actually, I want to go back to Vulture a little bit because
uh-huh. yeah.
Michael Keaton, I've got to read up a little bit more on Michael Keaton. He's got to be a comic book fan. He did two of the Batman movies back in the day, which could have just been a choice that, hey, Batman's being made, let's make Batman.
Right.
But in recent years, he did Birdman a couple of years ago, which was a superhero movie. I've not seen it yet, but from
it's
people I've talked... But...
I've seen it. It's not a superhero
it's,
movie.
It's like a drama and a superhero... It's something to do with a superhero.
Well, okay? It's delusional. It's,
but,
that's the thing.
But it has to do with superheroes. And then he's got the Vulture here. It's like, this guy has to have been a comic book fan at some point.
Right.
With the choices he's made, because
so.
At this point he doesn't have to take whatever role comes across his desk.
No, but if you also think, you know, that if a Marvel role comes across your
well,
desk,
yeah, you don't
like,
turn
are
down.
You really going to turn that
there's,
down?
There's certain universes, like if a Star Wars role is offered, you take it.
Yeah.
If Marvel comes across, you take
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So, you know.
Yeah, you don't say no to Marvel. You don't say no to the mouse.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's really the mouse that's making the offer.
Well, we keep talking about how Miss Dawn will take care of it if you find Geek Watch anywhere else. The mouse has even got more power than Miss Dawn.
Hey, I wanted to work for the mouse back in the day, okay? So...
I think anybody our age range wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they didn't want to work for corporate like I did.
Yeah.
I wanted to crush the little guys who tried to steal trademarks and copyrights.
I kind of work for the mouse.
You kind of do.
Kinda,
I work for the dark side, so yeah. I can't say anything. Yeah.
So we're in a good place. It's time to start wrapping this up.
Yep.
But I don't think we need Brian Amir. I think we all liked it. But
yeah,
overall, I think for me, this actually ranks in the probably the top three for the Marvel current universe, personally.
Mm-hmm. For the Marvel universe, for me, I'd probably put it in the top five. Maybe.
Yeah,
because it was so fun. It was so well put together. And think about it. This was 133 minutes long.
Yeah.
It did not seem like a two-hour
no,
movie.
It did not, no.
It absolutely did.
The pacing was perfect.
That's one of my concerns whenever I know a movie's going to be really long. Because I know that I'll feel it at some point. I didn't feel it.
Mm-mm.
It just kept going so well. And like you said, the pacing was really good.
There's certain things. We said this felt like this was a Marvel movie.
Yep.
Marvel, their pacing is almost dead on every time.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
The comedy level is usually exactly what it needs to be for that movie.
Right.
Not all of them are wall-to-wall comedy.
No.
But not all of them are serious all the way. None of them are either way.
Mm-hmm. No.
They know, somehow they've got the balance perfect. It may be the fact that we got comic creators making movies.
Right.
Right.
And suggesting
fans.
Things on movies.
Right.
But also, as you think on it too, I think Tony and I think Happy learned a valuable lesson too on their own. Because they didn't want to listen to the kid. They didn't want to believe him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And
well, yeah, Tony
right.
still in this was still keeping secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. which came back and bit him, kinda. And then it's like it's the same. That's just Tony Stark. That's the lesson he keeps learning over and over
right.
and over again. What caused Civil War? Was Tony keeping secrets and saying we got to
right.
do it
right.
this way?
Right.
And have to do exactly one way.
And
Ultron was him keeping secrets.
Exactly.
It advanced Tony as a character.
It did.
Because, really, he had the whole tough love thing he had was because he realized, because of the secrets and because he wasn't listening to what was going on,
mm-hmm.
all this crap happened. So his tough love version of taking the suit away and forcing Peter to become the hero he's supposed to be without all the little flash
mm-hmm.
and everything, mm-hmm. it kind of advanced him in a sense of being not really a father figure, but more of a mentor.
Yeah.
And realizing mm-hmm. that he can share these things with others to help them learn.
Well, and actually, what... it's ironic coming from Tony a yeah. little bit, the next point here. But the one of the best lines, they did not do the classic great power comes with great responsibility at all. But Tony came up with one of the greatest lines you could ever tell Spider-Man, that if you need the suit to be Spider-Man, you don't deserve the suit.
Right.
Or whatever that, however that works.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? He's right.
The suit doesn't make the man.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
The man makes the suit.
Right.
Right.
Which almost sounds like something that has been told to him.
Exactly. Right. That's something, like I said, that's kind of ironic coming from
the
Tony.
Tough love, like sounding like his father thing.
Well, yeah. Tony, Iron Man is the suit.
Right.
Right.
So it seems like something he's finally figured out in his head that, right. you know what, Iron Man's not the suit. I have to take
it. But you also see that happen once he tells that to Peter, and then he doesn't have the suit when he faces off against Vulture.
Yeah.
And all that building comes crumbling down on him, and he has to fight to save himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you see, at the same time, you see him realize what Tony meant,
mm-hmm.
while at the same time you see what a kid he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's scared.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that just worked really well.
It did.
Because, yeah, it was almost at that point where you think he was about to cry.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, this was phenomenal. It was a perfect... now, if you're annoyed with the Marvel method, I don't know why, because they actually figured out how to do this finally.
Right.
So,
there's no way a Spider-Man fan can't like this movie.
I honestly can't see how you cannot. I mean,
there was the perfect amount of Tony and those guys in there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It did not become an Iron Man movie that everyone worried it was going to be. Most of the Iron Man stuff you see in the commercials is almost all the Iron Man you get, except for the extra bits that actually just have Tony in them and a bit at the end, but really there's not much Iron Man in there.
In the with Iron Man, it's like, I had some issues with Iron Man 3. Because of when it came out right after one of the Avengers movies, and it seemed like Tony was taking on all these world huge things that, and then no one picked up a phone, or the Avengers never realized this was going on.
Right.
You have all these superpowered guys that are that can help you. And this one, they kind of answered that. Because right. Spider-Man tries to do it by himself.
Right.
Tony figures out what's going on and added, like, the fairy.
Yeah.
In the trailers, you think, wow, Spider-Man's actually holding this fairy together? How's that going to work?
Right.
It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
And so Iron Man comes in and helps him out when he needs
right.
it.
Right.
That, I think that was phenomenal. That's something they should have had back in Iron Man 3 and some right. of these other ones, where he's like, well, we have to do this. It's an Iron Man movie. We can't have anybody else in there.
But actually, that scene, too, points out that Tony did listen, because he yeah. called the FBI in.
Eventually, yeah. yes.
And they
eventually
were on,
he figured it out.
They were on the ferry, you right. know. But of course, he's not going to tell the kid that. And again, keeping secrets.
Which right. is, yeah, you know? Not telling the kid that you're actually paying attention to his reports
the,
and stuff.
The whole ferry right. thing.
Means the kid doesn't think you're listening
and paying
attention.
The whole ferry thing wouldn't have happened if he'd known the FBI were on there.
Exactly. Exactly.
So. But then the whole movie would be over then.
Exactly.
And then you yeah. also figure out that he's just been recording and watching everything the kid's
yeah.
been doing.
Yeah, he didn't
and
know that there was the, what was that, babysitter mode?
Right.
Yeah.
Recording. Everything
and Peter wouldn't have learned the lesson they needed to
that's
learn.
True
exactly
that's very true so. Expensive lesson but yeah
so overall we thought this yeah. was a phenomenal movie
great.
A great
yeah.
Spider-Man movie but a great Marvel it's just a great movie in general
mm-hmm.
yeah.
this was a great popcorn summer flick
and it fits in at the same time as you know there will be those people out there who maybe don't like Spider-Man that much and might not see the movie. You don't really need to see it to get the rest of the continuity
no.
of, like, the Avengers stuff
mm-hmm.
and everything. It
no.
just, it's just, this is Spider-Man, and this is how he develops into the character you're going to see in the next Avengers movie.
Right. Yeah. And you got to love the end. When Tony's ready to announce him, and he's like, oh, this was a test, right? Yeah, it was a
yeah.
test.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And then it's like, we got to tell somebody. So, tell
and then,
the,
then Pepper shows up, and she's like, I have a room full of media.
You should call a press conference for a new member of the Avengers?
Answered the dangling question of what was up with Tony and Pepper, though. So,
yeah.
You know, you got them back together.
I've been having this since 08.
Yeah, Happy's had the ring in his pocket since
yeah.
the first Iron Man movie.
And now the big question is, what did they tell the media when they went back in the room?
Yeah. So we'll get that in one of those shorts that they put on the DVDs.
We will. It'll be there.
So
and we're also figuring on the DVDs you're going to get extras of all the Captain America PSAs, because you know there were much more what they had in the movie.
Oh yeah.
So and I love that they
had the original Captain America costume, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. It was.
So you can tell these were made 7 or 8 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, they were made early on.
But, patience. Yeah.
It was a good movie. Yeah. Go see it. It's the summer blockbuster. You know it is.
Yeah. So this summer it's like sometimes like they end up with we've had 3 superhero movies come out, and it seemed like all 3 of them knocked out of the park this time.
Yeah.
And it looks like as of right now, the box office was about even for all 3 of them across the board when it first opened.
Yeah. Right.
Wonder Woman. I just checked it this weekend, or is already at $720 million worldwide, and at 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Batman v Superman was the highest grossing of the new DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
And they only had, I think they had 850 or 870 total in 13 weeks. So it's looking like Wonder Woman may cross a billion.
Yes.
At the rate, because it's still gaining as it goes.
That's true.
Well, I know people are still talking about Wonder Woman and.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People are still discovering it.
Well, even Guardians is now past 800, I think.
Yeah.
800 million, so.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, this is a great, and it's these are really, I mean, Wonder Woman's not as much, and Spider-Man shouldn't be seen as the lower tier characters, but traditionally they have ended up being the lower tier characters in the movies.
Right.
Right.
And they're doing great, so we're in a good place.
Yes, absolutely.
So before we wrap this up, anybody else got anything else you wanted to bring up or talk about or whatever?
No.
I think we're covered on most of it.
Yep.
So, Geeksters. Or let us know what you thought about Spider-Man. Did you have a good time with it, or did they totally screw the pooch? Let us know. Miss Dawn wants to see your emails.
That's right.
And you can get a hold of us anywhere and everywhere, geekwatch1.com. From there, you get links to everything, including our affiliates. You can go check out Amazon, get some t-shirts. Everything's on our webpage. You can also go to geekwatch1@gmail.com. Anywhere... everywhere social media, it's just GeekWatch1. So anywhere in the universe you want to find us, just look for GeekWatch1. If not, if you don't find us when you put in GeekWatch1, email Miss Dawn. She'll take care of the problem.
I will.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we're members of the Tangibound and the Weebie Geeks Networks at tangiboundnetwork.com and weebiegeekspc.com. And then for Kylan and Dawn and Vicky and myself, just remember.
And don't forget the cat.
Tez and Slade.
No matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weebie Geeks Network podcast.